Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep into drum bass lock mastery with stock plugins in Ableton Live. This is advanced, and honestly, this is the stuff that separates a tune that sounds cool from a tune that actually hits. Because in drum and bass, especially around 172 to 176 BPM, the relationship between the kick, snare, and bass line is everything. You can have amazing bass design, lovely atmospheres, perfect break edits, all of that. But if the drums and bass are not behaving like one groove engine, the track will feel weak. It might sound big in solo, but not dangerous in the drop. So today we're building a dark, rolling DNB groove in Ableton using stock devices only. We're going to focus on micro timing, transient behavior, low-end discipline, sidechain control, groove extraction, and bus processing. Not in a flashy way, in a proper, controlled, club-useful way. Set your session to 174 BPM. Start with a 16-bar loop. Create these tracks: kick, snare, break layer, hats or tops, sub bass, mid bass, bass boss, drum boss, effects or atmos, and a reference track. Very important, have a reference track in the session. Don't skip that. It keeps your decisions honest. Group kick, snare, break, and hats into your drum boss. Group sub and mid bass into your bass boss. Now here's the first mindset shift. Do not start by making the full beat. Start with the kick-sub relationship. In DNB, if that relationship is wrong, everything you add after that is built on sand. Program a simple kick pattern first. Put a kick on the first beat. Then maybe add another kick around beat 3 depending on the style. For rolling DNB, something around beat 1.3.3 or 1.3.4 can work nicely. For darker or steppier material, leave more space. For jump up, you might use more syncopation, but still, lock that first kick before you get fancy. Choose a short, controlled kick. That matters a lot. If the kick tail is too long, it will fight the sub immediately. A lot of producers think they need more low end, when really they just need less overlap. On the kick track, load EQ8, drum bus, saturator, utility, and spectrum. In EQ8, high pass around 25 to 30 Hz just to clean useless rumble. If the kick feels boxy, dip somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. If it needs a touch more body, try a small boost around 50 to 65 Hz, but be careful. Tiny moves. On drum bus, keep it controlled. Drive around 5 to 12%. Crunch very low, maybe even off. Damp around 8 to 12 kHz. Boom is usually off here for disciplined DNB low end. And bring the transients up, maybe plus 10 to plus 25. The idea is front edge impact, not flattening the kick. Then use saturator in analog clip mode, with maybe 1 to 3 dB of drive. Soft clip on. Match the output so it's not just louder. If it only sounds better when it's louder, that's not a fair comparison. Use utility to keep the low end centered if needed, and spectrum to actually see what's happening. You're aiming for a kick with a clear transient, a short low end decay, and enough body to hit without smearing into the bass. Now build the sub, and this is where discipline begins. Think of the bass in two roles. Sub is weight and note authority. Mid bass is attitude, movement, and aggression. Separate those jobs. On your sub bass track, load operator. Start simple. Oscillator on a sine wave. Attack very fast, somewhere from 0 to 2 milliseconds. Decay around 700 milliseconds to 1.5 seconds, depending on how long your notes are. Release around 80 to 150 milliseconds. You can add a tiny amount of a second sine an octave up if you want some extra definition, but keep it really subtle. Then process the sub with EQ8, compressor or glue compressor, saturator, utility, and spectrum. High pass around 25 Hz. Low pass around 90 to 120 Hz. Keep the sub in its lane. Compress gently, maybe 2 to 4 to 1 ratio, 15 to 30 millisecond attack, 60 to 120 millisecond release, aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on louder notes. This is just control. Then use saturator lightly. Analog clip or soft sine can both work. Maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive. You want harmonics for translation, not fuzzy mess. And make the sub mono. Always. Width at 0% is a solid move. Now for the MIDI. Keep it simple first. One or two bars. And here's the key lesson. The sub should answer the kick, not sit underneath it all the time. If the kick lands strong, either let the sub start slightly after it, or shorten the note before it. A good practical rule is to leave around 20 to 60 milliseconds of space before important kicks, or use subtle sidechain to make that space for you. That tiny gap is huge. Like, genuinely huge. It's one of those advanced details that barely looks different on screen, but sounds much more expensive. Now create the mid-bass. Use operator, wave-eatable, analog, simpler, whatever you like. But for this lesson, operator or wave-eatable is perfect. This layer should live mostly from about 150 Hz upward into the mids. It should bring growl, texture, movement, and rhythm, but not steal the sub's job. A simple operator patch works well. Saw on oscillator A, square on oscillator B, slightly detuned. Use a low-pass filter, some envelope modulation to make it speak, maybe the synced or free-running LFO for movement. Then process it with EQ8, auto filter, saturator, drum bus, compressor, and utility. High-pass around 90 to 120 Hz. If it's muddy, dip around 250 to 400 Hz. If it needs bite, maybe a little push in the 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz range. Auto filter can add motion over 8 or 16 bars. Saturator can be stronger here, maybe 3 to 8 dB of drive. Drum bus is great for making the attack speak. A little compression to catch peaks. Utility for level and width management. The key principle is that the mid bass should make the sub feel bigger, not mask it. If your mid layer is too full in the 120 to 200 Hz region, your kick sub punch will blur really fast. Now let's talk about the actual lock, because this is where advanced groove really happens. Loop just two bars and mute everything except kick, snare, sub, and mid-bass. That's your truth zone. This audio version is shortened for playback.